This conference will now be recorded.
Thank you very much. We will go ahead and we will call the Public Works Committee meeting, a special committee meeting for Wednesday, August 12th, 6 p.m. to order. Thank you everybody for being here tonight. Appreciate those of you who have prepared documentation and presentations and whatnot for joining us. Let's first go around the room for committee members and just document who is here. I am here, Andrew Plowman. Councillor Osmus?
Here.
Councillor Alvarado?
Here.
Councillor Nelson?
Here.
All right, and joining us, and because your pictures are very small, bear with me because I'm going to blow them up here for a minute, but we have our city administrator with us tonight. We also have our Public Works Director, Mr. Christensen here, our Park and Rec Director, Mr. Baumgarten, and then I'm going to go around the room, and I believe I know who you are, but just for the record, if you could just state who you are, and I'll just go in order that I see you. Mary? Mary Swatsky is in attendance. And then I believe we have Dana, and I'm sorry, Dana, that I do not know your last name, but we also have you in attendance.
Okay, Halibachuk.
Halibachuk, all right, thank you, I appreciate that. And then the final little picture that I'm seeing is Rick. Rick, your last name, please.
Yeah, Rick Marsetter.
All right, we got that into the record. Okay, so since we're all here and we've called this meeting to order, we're going to go ahead and jump to our main item of business tonight, and that is the local option sales tax project, specifically the Swanson Fields improvement. Mr. Baumgarten.
All right, good evening, everyone. Chair, members of the committee, tonight before you, we're going to look at adopting a resolution for the design and construction documents for the Invest in Wilmer Swanson Field projects and authorize this project to go out for bids. A quick overview of it, we passed the local option sales tax in the fall of 2018. The subcommittee has been working on designs and improvements out at Swanson Fields. That's the ball fields and the softball fields, with everything from turf to dugouts to drainage and everything. A construction manager has been hired along with an architect to do this project. I will introduce Mary Swatsky here, and she can kind of go over more, a little bit over the overview and introduce the architect. But just so you guys also know that the process has gone through the public input meeting on August 5th and has gone through the Invest in Wilmer and the Park Recreation Board on August 10th to discuss the project, and it's their recommendation to move this project forward to council. And then I will now move it over to Mary, and she can describe the Swanson Field improvement.
Thanks, Rob, and thank you all for this special meeting tonight at 6 o'clock on a Wednesday night. Our committee was made up of 9 subcommittee members who are direct users in one way or the other of baseball, softball in our community, from coaches,
technical glitch. Is that on my end or is it on Mary's end?
I think it's on Mary's end.
Mary, we have you frozen. Give a couple seconds to maybe jump back in.
They tried to blame Brian at the previous meeting, but I think it was Matt.
Brian, you luck out. I'm not going to blame you on this one. Okay, Rob, do you want to fill in until a connection is reestablished, maybe hand it off to a consultant?
Yeah, I can, or Rick can chime in too. He's the co-chair or the vice chair of the committee too. You know, I'll just say that the committee worked really hard on getting this project to where it is today. A lot of a lot of meetings took place. A lot of information was digested, and everything that came out is going to be a really good project for out at Swanson Fields with everything that they're trying to do.
Serve once again in creating an atmosphere for our youth and for our community has been just stellar. And so I want you to know that we have a truly valued person. So with that, I would like to introduce Dana and from the architecture firm, Widseth, and to show the presentation and go forth with and ask, welcome any questions at the end.
Thanks, Mary. Okay, so we got a little bit of both there. Again, my name is Dana Liebichuk. I'm an architect with Widseth Architects and Engineers. I'm based out of our Rochester office. I've had the privilege of working with this subcommittee along with Rob and several other folks in your community since February or March, since we started this project. All of the decisions that are made on these fields have been made as a team. The folks that you see here that I listed, I didn't try to list all of the subcommittee members. I knew I would forget somebody. So again, it's Widseth Architects and Engineers. We have offices all around. The engineers that are working on this project are based in Baxter and Alexandria with our mechanical and structural engineers, as well as our electrical. We've got technicians in Mankato, and then I'm in Rochester. Our consultant that we've brought onto this team is Jay Pomeroy. He's with Anderson Johnson, now Bolton and Mink. Bolton and Mink is your city engineers, so that actually works out really well that your city engineers now is also representing you on this field. Your city engineers are also preparing they have done some soils tests as well as some topography for us as well. The project management team is Marcus Construction and Joe DeGroat over at Marcus right there in Wilmer. He's been a valuable asset during this entire process, during the pricing exercise, value engineering, and has been engaged in this project from the very first meeting. Then of course, Rob, he's on the line, of course, and then the Invest in Wilmer community as well. Swanson Fields, located on the west side of Wilmer, and tonight we'll be talking about all five fields. Right now we've got the three softball fields, we've got the green field here, orange field, or I'm going to get the name wrong, I already know I am, and then we have the red field and yellow, I'm sorry, yellow, red, and then the blue field here. So we're going to focus on each one of those, and we're also going to dial into the little brown building here on the front. Clemenson, I'm sorry, that name just escaped me when I was going through that process. What I'm going to do is I'm going to start with the softball fields first, and then we'll talk about the blue field, and then eventually we'll get to Clemenson Field, and I'll go into more detail with each one of these as we move through the presentation. The softball fields, and you're going to see throughout this presentation, and I'm going to back up just one second. I'm approaching this presentation with this group of folks, all of you, under the assumption that you haven't seen this before. I know several of you have already seen these slides either in the public presentation last week or over the last few months of preparing this information. So if you have any questions, you can either just speak up or hold to the end and we can address those. So throughout this presentation, you're going to see the text alternate. Like I'd mentioned before, when we identified modifications to this complex, we looked at a couple of factors, but one of them we looked at specifically was cost, knowing that we had a limited budget on this project. So we identified our priorities, and then items that were maybe lower on our priority list or maybe didn't weren't as high, I should say, we would move some of those items to an alternate. And the goal of that alternate is to bid those alternates as part of the bidding process. And then once we have all of our bids in, and then we can come back and pick and choose which of the alternates to bring into the project in no specific order. And I'll go through all of the alternates as we get into the discussion here. So first off, with the softball fields, we'll be removing all of the egg lime on the infield, improving the drainage on the infield. We'll be laying new drain tile and surface drains or area drains in the dug or in the infields. We'll be putting new egg lime in the infields and reshaping those so they're a true shape to a softball field. We'll be building out new dugouts. We'll be removing the existing ones, making some modifications to the fence, and then adding new dugouts for each of the three softball fields. And then also as an alternate, we'll be adding scoreboards to each of the three softball fields. The blue field over here, when we started this project, we looked at a couple of different options for the blue field on rotating that and looking at different sun angles, accessibility, sight lines, seating. We looked at a lot of different components to that blue field. And again, one of the things we looked at was cost and what's the cost implications of rotating that field, moving our utilities, reshaping the field. And when it really came down to it, and we set our priorities on where we wanted to be with our dollars, and that the rotating the blue field just didn't fit in the priorities. It didn't make sense to go through that process any further than schematic design. So moving into design development, we decided to leave that field in its current rotation or current design, and then make modifications to it. So we would be leaving the outfield fence in the exact location where it is. And then the enhancements would be a new grass infield. And again, when we take out the existing infield, we'd be improving drainage, laying new drain tiles, area drains, and then coming back with a new grass infield. And you'll be hearing the term grass and turf. Turf is artificial turf. It's a composite material, while the grass, you know, obviously is grass field. We'll be also adding new bullpens to the blue field, very similar to what we're doing over on softball fields, just a little bit larger. I jumped ahead there. New dugouts. We'll be adding new dugouts to the blue field, slightly larger than what we have at the softball fields. We'll be adding bullpens on both the first and third baseline, as well as a new scoreboard to the blue field. At Clemenson Field, this will be a larger remodel, or as far as our priorities go, modifications to this field. First thing you're gonna notice is the outfield fence. If you've ever played here before, what we did is we pulled the first and third baselines in to shorten that distance. We left the center field about where it is now, but we pulled those first and third baselines in. We left the existing scoreboard in place, and then we'll be adding new lights all the way around. So I'm gonna be working from the outfield in. In the outfield, we'll be regrading the outfield, adding new topsoil, as well as drain tile, and regrading that exterior or that outfield so we can make sure we don't have any soft spots or hard spots, I guess, and get that water off the outfield. Moving to the infield, this color change that you see here, and I'll get into more detail here in a second, you can see that is an artificial turf. Even though it's got a brown color to it, that brown color is actually a clay-colored artificial turf. So looking at it, it'll look like egg lime going up and touching it, walking on it, and playing on it. It'll play just like artificial turf, just like the green. So I have two different colors. I have a green artificial turf and a brown or a clay artificial turf. And that'll be continuous from this baseline all the way over to first baseline and around the back side. In fact, I'm going to go to the next slide here. We can blow that up just a bit. There we go. So additional improvements to Clemenson Field will include, obviously, the turf. And then the white lines you see there, those will be actually stitched right into the turf, then with the chalk or a paint from the turf to the outfield fence. Additional improvements will be new bullpen on the visitor side or the first base side, bullpen and batting cages on the third base side, or it would be the home field side. And then we'll get into more detail yet with these components right in here. But a big component or big improvement that we're making to Clemenson Field is adding the berm. And this berm will go basically from this point here all the way around to the bullpen and batting cages. This is a 4-foot berm with a 4-foot concrete wall in front of it. And then with the new dugout right there and there, both of the dugouts are going to be recessed 24 inches below grade with a fence in front of it, of course. But the berm will allow additional seating between the dugout and the bullpens. And then also we're raising the grade underneath the stadium. The stadium is a 200-seat stadium with a new press box and a canopy. And then part of the components of the first base, let me just zoom in here, of the first base dugouts, there we go, is adding, so here's your dugout right here. We'll be adding a concession component to this end. This is part of our base bid. The dugouts and the concessions are part of the base bid. An alternate bid would be to add storage on the back side and then two handicap accessible restrooms. And again, we identified that as an alternate bid, and I'll go through those alternate bids here in a second when we get over to that. On the outside of the concession stand, we added a small concrete plaza or patio for spectators and for viewing. Part of the access from the parking lot to the stadium includes new sidewalks, a ramp system, and then of course the berm that goes all the way around, which is 4-foot berm. So we have our stadium. Our stadium is sitting on top of the berm, and then our stadium will be raised another 4 feet above the berm. So the front of the stadium, this lower row right here, will be 8 feet from the playing surface. And why don't we zoom in here? This is a sight line from the center of the stadium, and a lot of thought went into this. We were at a couple different heights, and when we looked at how the outfield fence played, the dugouts and our sight lines, we really modeled this up, and we put a lot of attention to these sight lines. And so again, this view is from the center of the stadium looking out. You can see the whole field. The foul lines all the way out. And then that, of course, changes as you move around to the ends. So the schedule to date, we had our public presentation on August 5th. That's been completed. A couple folks showed up. It was nice to talk to one of the folks from your local press, and a couple other folks showed up from Park and Rec and from City Council. On Monday night, we did a presentation to the Invest in Wilmer Committee, as well as the Park and Rec Board. And then obviously tonight is our public works presentation. Next Monday is the City Council presentation. Upon approval of the project on August 17th, I gave myself 1 week from the 17th to the 24th, pending any changes or modifications or recommendations from your committee. We would be going out to bid on August 24th. And then we'd be bidding from August 24th to September 14th. Once those bids come in, then we'd have our City Council approval of the subcontractor bids on September 21st, and then construction beginning September 21st or shortly thereafter, and we'd be going until winter conditions would come in, and then we would probably stop at about December and then restart in the spring of 2021 for completion early summer next year. So here we got a couple more looks of the stadium and the field. And again, our artificial turf comes all the way out. We can see that color change from the hatch screen to the plain green. The dugouts, and then of course this component from the first base dugout around to the third base dugout. That's a concrete wall. It's an 8-foot wall. And then of course we notch down so we can get some spectator viewing on top of that berm. So you can barely see it here, but the berm extends all the way out. I don't know if you can see my red line there. I should maybe make that a little thicker, but that berm will wrap all the way around there. So you can come up onto the berm and you can have additional seating up on top there. A little bigger. Additional seating on top of that berm. One other component that we added, just a feature, since most of your concessions are being operated and run by volunteers, we felt it was important to add a viewing window between the concessions and the field. So if you have a volunteer that's there to watch their child play baseball, and they can step right in that concession stand and watch that happen while they're taking care of the concessions as well. I think I mentioned this already, but the stadium seating seats about 200. I think we're just a couple over 200. Part of our bidding process is identifying both a combination of bench seats and chairs with backs. A base bid is how you see it right here, with all benches and backs under the seats. I'm gonna just a little more. Benches with backs. Our alternate includes adding chairs with backs on the first three rows, as you see it here. So the first three rows would be chairs with backs, and then the top three rows would be benches with backs. That's our base, or our, I'm sorry, our alternate bid. Another look at the field. You can see the batting cages and the bullpen out there on for their home team along third base, as well as a bullpen along the first baseline. We'll be adding lights to the field. This is under a separate contract. This is not under our direction. So the city is working directly with Musco to add new lights. So I want to zoom into this component back here again, so you can see what we're doing here. Again, the base bid includes the dugout, which is here, and the concessions. And we've designed this in a way so we can come with an alternate bid. We can add our restrooms back here, as well as storage for the concessions right next to it. So this component here is our alternate bid package. And again, I'll get into more detail with the alternates here in a minute. Okay, these are the blue field improvements. We're leaving the outfield fence in its place. We're adding a new scoreboard, new bullpen on both sides, new dugouts on both first and third baseline, and then a new grass infield. Our project budget is base cost of $1.5 million with soft cost of $500,000. And we've identified an additional $414,600 for our alternates. And again, based upon the bidding, seeing how those come in, then we can hand pick which of the alternates we want. Some of these are adds, some of these are deducts. So that's really not a fair number, because we have a substantial deduct alternate as well. So I'll talk through those here in just a second. But our current bidding atmosphere, construction atmosphere, is really competitive right now. I mentioned this the other night. We had a school project here in Rochester that came in $1 million under budget, which was unheard of for that type of a project. We've seen other projects in Mankato also coming in under budget. And so I'm excited for this bidding process. And I should circle back with Joe here this week and see where they're coming in with some of their bids. But everything right now that we're seeing in outstate Minnesota, greater Minnesota, is bids are coming in really, really favorable for our clients. So I think we're in a good spot right now. So why don't we, let me talk about softball fields here before we go through the alternates. So once again, with the softball fields, we'll be pulling out the existing egg lime on the infield. We'll be putting in new drain tile, area drains, and the new egg lime on the infield. We'll be reusing the existing egg lime that we're pulling off. We'll be putting that on the warning track around the outside. And then the scoreboards are identified as an alternate, and then of course new dugouts as well. So we've identified that for fields green, yellow, and orange. I'm sorry, green, yellow, and red. And then one of our alternates is to completely remove the green field from the project. So that was an alternate deduct to remove the green field. Did I get that wrong? Maybe it's an alternate add. I can't remember. So why don't we just go ahead and just flip through our alternates here? I got those listed here on the left hand side. So add alternate number one, as I had shown you with the Clemenson Field, was to expand that concessions and expand that dugout. And I'm going to get into the bathroom situation here in a second, so just be patient and I'll get over to that. The alternate number one would be expanding the concessions at the Clemenson Field to include two handicap accessible restrooms and storage for the concessions. And alternate number two is adding 8 toilets, 4 male, 4 female, to the north side of the existing brown building, that little shack when you come into the park. And alternate number two is adding a restroom component, larger one, to the north side of that building. And alternate number three is a new park shelter. I'm gonna zoom in here. I'll kind of show you where that is. We didn't, outside of the baseball fields and softball fields and the Brown Building, which is right here, we didn't have a lot of improvements within the park. We left the existing drive and parking lot as you see them here. And then an add alternate would be adding a park shelter and a playground right up here. Oh, I'm sorry, that's a pump house there. Get rid of that. Adding a park shelter and a playground just on the north side of that parking lot. That would be identified as an alternate. Rob can talk about the playground component to this, but the park shelter itself would be an add alternate number three. Add alternate number four would be adding the scoreboard to the blue field. Add alternate number five would be adding the green field. Oh, there we go. So the green field is not in the base bid, so that would be an add alternate to include the modifications to the green field, the green softball field. Add alternate number six. Now this one we wanted to specifically address the little Brown Building when you come in. So add alternate number six is if we don't do anything with this with this existing building, and I'll show you a better picture here in just a second. If we don't do anything with this building as far as the restrooms go, we'll be addressing that with add alternate number six to add new skin, exterior siding and roofing, paint the doors, basically make this look like a new building. So when we're done, add alternate number six, assuming we take that, would allow that little Brown Building to be renovated. So this is important that we talk about this building. We can get into more detail here on the next slide, but that little Brown Building holds a lot of components to it. It holds our sprinkler system, our electrical transformers, our right outside. We've got our, I guess it's sprinkler system already. There's a lot of utilities that are directed into that building. So we can't just take it down and walk away. We have to provide cover for some of those utilities. And so that would be why we're adding this component to alternate number six, is to address some of those deficiencies with that building. Add alternate number seven would be adding a sound system to Clemenson Field. Add alternate number eight, our modifications to the blue field, and that would be the first and third baseline. We had we wanted to widen that fence, give it a larger foul line, and so that's what those modifications are at alternate number eight. Alternate number nine are remodeling the restrooms on the south side of that little Brown Building. Right now those restrooms hold a couple of toilets in each one. We would be remodeling that to include ADA restrooms and then modifications to the exterior as well. At alternate deduct, now alternate deduct number 10 would be strictly addressing Clemenson Field, and that would be taking the going from turf to a grass field component. So when we looked at these alternates, a lot of them are smaller dollar amounts other than the expanding the restrooms on number two. A lot of them are smaller dollars that we're trying to grab into the project. Alternate number 10 was a pretty drastic component where we're going to say, let's take the turf out. And that was, Rick helped me out with this. I don't have my notes in front of me. I think it was about a $280,000 deduct, potential deduct to the project, to remove the turf and go to a grass infield on Clemenson Field.
That's what I remember. Yeah.
Yep, 280. Alternate number 11. Now we're going back to the stadium on these last two. At alternate number 11 would be going from the benches to the chairs on rows 1, 2, and 3. And then at alternate number 12 would be expanding the depth of the treads of that stadium. So right now the base fit is 36 inches deep. So that, you know, the chairs, as you're sitting in the chairs or on the benches, is 36 inches deep. And then the add alternate would be expanding that from 36 to 40 inches, just to give you a little bit more leg room in that stadium. So as you can see, these are not huge adds, but they're adds that we didn't see it was necessary to do a 40 inch. We can do a 36 inch, save a little bit of money. And if it works out, you know, let's try to expand that to a 40 inch. So we just put that as an add alternate. Okay, now I want to talk specifically about the restroom, that little Brown Building. You can see on the upper left, that's how it is today. It's not in great shape. The core of the building is in good shape. The concrete slab is in good shape. The utilities feeding it are in good shape. And to replace that building didn't fit within our budget. So what we did is we said, okay, how can we make this building better? Okay. So the first thing we did is we added restrooms to the north side. So I'm going to back up a second. So when we talked to our local building official, when the park is full, when you have your largest tournament of the year, what he's looking for are 6 toilets per sec. So he wants to have 12 fixtures on that facility at maximum peak time of your largest tournament. So 12. So if you only have, let's say we take at alternate number 9 down here on the bottom, and we remodel that round building. Here's your round building right here. That's how it sits right now. That's the footprint. If we remodel this component down here at alternate number 9, and we take and we add these 2 toilets right here, you would have 2 handicap accessible toilets for the park, and therefore he would want you to add an additional 8 in portable toilets during the busiest day of the year. If, for example, we take alternate number 2, which is expand on the north side of that existing building, we would be adding 8 of the required 10 toilets to the facility. So therefore, on your busiest day, if we take alternate number 2, we would only have to have 2 portable toilets. And I think that kind of, when we talk this through, it would kind of make sense that we would have maybe a handicapped toilet out at orange, I'm sorry, at red and at yellow, just to accommodate those softball teams out there so they didn't have to walk back to the center of the complex. So it kind of makes sense. But as we looked at this, we said, okay, what do we want? What do we need? And we need handicap accessible toilets. That's what we need to have in this facility. What we want are enough handicap toilets so we don't have to bring in portable toilets. So if it works out, we grab alternate number 2, which is this component. And let's say we grab alternate number 9, or maybe we grab alternate number, number 1, which is over at Clemenson Field. And we add, let's say, Clemenson Field and these 4 toilets here in alternate number 2, we've now met our maximum capacity for toilets. Every one of the toilet assemblies that we put together, whether it's at Clemenson Field, alternate number 2, alternate number 9, all of them include a fully handicap accessible restroom component. That was one of our needs. So when we looked at our wants and our needs, we need to have handicap accessible toilets. We want to have enough so we don't have to have portable fixtures out there during our tournaments. So that's how we got to this point. You know, maybe we take 2, maybe we take 4, maybe we take 2 over by Clemenson. But that's how some of these alternates got placed. And it's a little confusing when you look at this and you try to wrap your brain around how we're going to manage 12 alternates. We've already addressed this in the construction documents where we are today. We're not 100% complete with our documents, but we've gone through and addressed this with plumbing and electrical and structural. So that's part of our bidding process, is to make sure that it's very clear to the bidders on how we're putting this together. So if we look over at the rendering here on the bottom of the existing facility, again, new siding, new roofing, new drinking fountains. We want this building to look like a brand new building when we're done with this project. Whether we take that at alternate number 2 and expand it, or we just renovate it by adding 2 toilets on the south. Our goal here is to get this building to look like a brand new building, so it's not an eyesore when you pull into the facility. And that is the full scope of my presentation. I'll bounce it back to that. And why don't we open it up for any questions?
Thank you, Dana. I appreciate that. Before we get into committee questions, I'd just like to ask other members of the subcommittee if you have any additional comments, or Administrator Grommets or Mr. Baumgarten, if you have anything that you'd like to add before the committee begins discussion. Seeing and hearing none. We will take it to the committee. The action that we're looking for tonight, or that we've been requested, is adopting of a resolution approving the design and construction documents for the Invest in Wilmer Swanson Field projects, authorizing the project to go out for bid. Does anybody care to take action on this motion? For discussion's sake?
Councilmember Plowman, I can make the motion.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second? We have a second by Ms. Osmus. All right, discussion from the committee. I saw Fernando's hand up earlier. Go ahead, Fernando.
This is going to be for Dana. Dana, would you go back to the concession stand for the Clemenson Field, please? Your proposal there, so you pull that up for me, please.
Do you want the floor plan or do you want the exterior?
What you got pulled up, the Clemenson Field dike. Oh, go back to that one you just had. Not that one. That one. This is good. This is good. Yeah. I was just wondering. They come around the corner to get the food for their or whatever the concessions are. Is that correct?
Yep.
Would it be a bad thing to have them come to the opposite side or have you know what I mean? What I'm saying, backside of this thing, or is that storage back there, or
right here?
No, the other end, where the concession stand is.
Yeah, this is our concessions right here.
Right, correct. And then as you face it, well, if you're okay, so hard to describe. So, okay, if I'm standing there, that's me standing looking at the concession. If I go to my left and then I look at the back of the wall, yep, I'm walking that way. Then I'm going, stop right there. Is there any reason why you can't open it up there to let them get their concessions there? Or are you thinking that they'll have better access to see the game?
Oh yeah, so right. We wanted that window on this side here, so that way we can incorporate this patio or this plaza component, so they can sit here and take part in the game while they're getting their concessions. It was really, I think it was sight lines, so they can see the field during the game. Okay. Well, I shouldn't say it's 100% that, because I go to the layout. Let me show you the layout here. So when I lay out the concession stands, this project and any other one, there's a set process for food prep, where we looked at our coolers right here, and then you would have food storage, hot dogs or sloppy joes or whatever you got here. You would have your window on this side, and then you would have your dirty. Here's your sinks right here, water heater and hand wash station. So when you come into the concession stand, the first thing you're going to do is wash your hands, which is right here, and then your food prep and process of delivering the food and cleaning goes around in a circle. So no, I guess I shouldn't say it was strictly because of the patio there. There's actually a process for selecting that. So if we were to put our window here, first off, you wouldn't have a sight line to the field if you have a backup, if you have a line that comes through. But then you would have to have your food process would be, you know, like basically this would be your clean, and then you'd have your food storage, then you'd go around in this direction. So you could still put your hand sink right here. That's not a problem, but your flow with wanting to have an open view to the field on this side, stacking up and being able to watch the game on that side versus here. Yeah, so there was a thought process in as far as not only stacking people, but also how that flow happens inside the concession stand. That was all part of the discussion and part of the process.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool. Okay, thank you. Well, I was looking for the quickest line to get the food and get in and get out. That was my philosophy. So no, yeah, I like your thought process. Thank you.
Well, we even looked at putting the concession stand on this end. That's what they did at Old Red Bakerfield, and I believe they have that at Minnewaska as well. But then it would force our dugouts further down the line, And that we didn't want that. We wanted our dugouts here, just like we have over on this side, and we didn't want to force that dugout further down the line. So there was a couple of components that went into that decision.
Cool. I've got two more questions on the bathrooms with the 8 stalls. Are they going to be COVID safe? How is that being addressed?
That's an interesting question, because of everything that all of us are dealing with during this age of COVID, there have been virtually zero modifications to the toilet rooms in any facility. I don't know. I mean, I know at one time they had, you'd walked into a facility and they'd blocked off every other one or whatever that was. Maybe they blocked off this one here and this one. That doesn't happen anymore. I haven't seen that in a while. So I don't have an answer for that. Bathrooms are, for some reason, immune to COVID transferring, I guess. I don't have an answer for that. This is a standard toilet room facility based on handicap accessible routes and hand washing.
Okay, I would ask you to maybe look at that. I think there was something like on a Sunday morning show the other day that they're looking into the designs of bathrooms nowadays, and it is becoming an important deal. So, you guys got access to research. Just take a few minutes to see what you find, and it'd be a shame to open up this nice new facility and we got to block off every other toilet like you're describing. It just doesn't make sense. To do that. And the last thing I would ask is that the water station have a bottle watering component to it, because a lot of people will come with their bottles or their little thermoses for water, and so they can fill their thermos for water and they go sit on the bench or whatever they're going to do. So those are my three things, I guess. Thank you. Oh, and the last thing I like is handicap bathrooms. That way they could probably use as family bathrooms too, especially if they're unisex. I like that idea too. Okay, thank you.
Right. Yeah, so I'm going to go back to that drinking fountain. We've already addressed that. Building code requires you to have a high and a low handicap drinking fountain so people who are in wheelchairs can access. The alternate to that is to have a low drinking fountain with a bottle filler. And that's basically my gold standard on all projects, is including that one drinking fountain with the bottle filler on it. So that's already been incorporated into the project. That's a great pickup.
Yeah, thank you. It looks exciting. It's very exciting. I appreciate the work that's gone into it and the thought process. It's very exciting.
Thank you, Dana. And thank you, Councilor Alvarado. Good discussion there. And it's also good confirmation that attention to detail has been paid all the way around this project. Mary, when there was the discussion of concessions, I saw your hand up. Is there anything else that you wanted to add to that portion of the discussion?
Nope. Dana covered a couple of the things I wanted to bring up.
Fantastic. Brian, go ahead.
Yeah, committee members, and this is probably directed to Dana, and that is, I noticed we're pulling out 10% contingency, which is, kind of normal. But my question is focused on when we get to the end of the project and we've got, $100,000 left of our contingency, what's the process to add in some of those items that we did not include in the base bid? Is that going to be by change order, or is that being handled in another manner?
Okay, that's a great question. And that money obviously would be rolled back into the project, and anything that would be added to that would be identified as a change order. You're right, 100% right. And so we would, we wouldn't want, I guess we could install it or put it in at any time, but hopefully we will have those change order items identified before we get to the end of a project, as we don't want to have plumbers come back and digging up and new sod or anything like that. So hopefully we'll have, when we bid this out, we'll have competitive bids. We'll hopefully be able to select, let's say, 6 out of the 12 alternates. And then at the end, we've got a contingency left over, and that contingency can be added. You know, something very simple to that contingency is in the stadium design, moving from benches to chairs in the first 3 rows. And we can hold off on those final chair components until towards the, later in the project, and then be able to add those back in if we're tracking with our change orders and see we don't have a lot of change orders or we're sitting in good shape. That's something simple to add. You know, adding the 2 unisex toilets at the bottom under alternate number 9, that would be a little bit more difficult, you know, having slabs and concrete and things. We don't want to be adding change orders late in the process for major components like that. Adding scoreboards is a great one. You know, when we get into winter conditions and we shut the project site down, we're going to be hopefully 75% done with construction, be paid out 75% for our construction totals. And then we say, you know what, we got a great contingency here. We had good bids. Let's go ahead and add in these scoreboards on the softball fields. And we can have those delivered by April and have them installed and ready for the season. You know, those are components you can add easily as change orders. So it'll depend. Answer your question, yes, they'll be added as change orders, but it'll have to depend on which item we go after with that contingency dollar. That was a long answer. Sorry.
No, that was a good answer. And Dana, maybe you can attest to this or not, but I think therein lies the benefit of having a quality construction management firm working with you as well. Those are the types of things, in my experience, that they dial into as early on in the process as they can. And that sometimes helps the information flow, especially to address that project timeline, which is all kind of always in flux. But is that your experience as well?
Yeah, having a construction manager added during this phase of the project, during the design phase of the project, was a great move by your city leadership, whoever pulled the trigger on that. I think it was great because we've been able to incorporate their bidding components or their estimating team into this project. So I'm confident that unless we get, you know, super competitive bids, which is what we're hoping for, because they build in, you know, in their estimates, they'll build in a safety percentage to make sure that they're not going to be way off. So we're anticipating that our competitive bidding, along with their safety factor, is going to bring our bids down, and we'll have that dollars at the end for these additional changes or alternates as we go. So, yeah, bringing Marcus in early in this project was a great move, and that'll pay off in the long run when we get this project under construction.
Thank you, Dana. Yeah, I'd like to take credit for that, but that would be disingenuous of me. Councilmember Nelson or Councilmember Osmond, do you have questions, concerns, or comments? Councilmember Nelson, go ahead.
My microphone on, sorry. I asked this question the other night, but Mr. Morsetter did a good job explaining. I had expressed a concern why we were doing so many fields when we were short money. Part of that concern is just making sure that Orange gets done the way it needs to be. But Mr. Morsetter did a good explanation as to why they were looking at the other fields. And so I would ask him to share that one now, if he's willing to do that.
Mr. Morsetter, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Well, I think what we're trying to do is when we were looking at the project, we were trying to benefit everybody that uses the field. And of course, softball and some of the younger baseball teams, you know, use some of those smaller fields. And so we wanted to make sure that some of those fields got a facelift that they needed. They probably haven't been touched a whole lot over their history. The other thing that happens is there's greater demand for baseball fields. And although we would have liked to have been able to create blue so that it would be, again, like a baseball field that could be used by any age. Right now, we've created blue as an additional baseball field, and it can accommodate those younger age kids, and can be a good practice field as well. So, you know, Orange is going to get a lot of play There's a couple of things with that turf. The changeover between games can be a lot quicker. And so, you know, we can actually accommodate, you know, more games that we probably put currently on that. So, you know, I think the committee, the subcommittee has spent quite a bit of time talking about that. We had a representative on our committee that sort of represented softball. So, you know, that all got incorporated, you know, into the planning of the field.
Go ahead, Audrey.
I thought the component of the cost of doing them at the same time was, you know, was a reasonable comment that you had made to support that. That the second concern I do have is the restrooms. I feel strongly that Orange really needs to have the restrooms completed. I think everybody who's on the call knows I'm not a fan of the little brown building. I get it, but I do have a concern about the restrooms in Orange and, you know, how we deal with that. I do think the way the project is being brought forward with lots of options, hopefully will help us to be able to look at the best way to complete this as quickly as possible, and then perhaps to look at, you know, what do we have to do to find other money to, and I mean raise money or delay in some of the other things, but I think we only have one chance to do it right, and I'm hoping that we will be visionary, that this is a project that Wilmer can enjoy for, you know, years to come without needing to have all sorts of additional funding.
Thank you, Audrey. And yeah, that's a good, good couple points to look at. I think, looking through this plan, I appreciate the way that it was put together, the attention to detail, also the use of technology. I think, I don't know about you guys, but I think it's great not only being able to see a site plan, you know, from the top down, but actually being able to have that three-dimensional rendering that is, they get more and more lifelike every time we look at them, and it really helps give depth and great perception, perspective rather, into what the project is going to be, what it's going to look like, and help us envision just what it is that our tax dollars, our community's tax dollars, are going to pay for. And so there's a great appreciation for that. Technology's come a long way, so I appreciate the fact that we're working with an organization that chooses to implement that. Ms. Osmus, you haven't asked any questions or expressed any concern.
Good. This is probably about the third time I've seen this.
Well, hey, there we go. All right. Anything left from our administrator or from Mr. Baumgarten before we make a move on this?
For me.
Rob, you good?
I'm great.
Okay, Fernando, I see your hand up.
I just want to commend the committee. It sounds like there's a great deal of thought process that went in. Thanks, Mary. Thanks, Rick. Your subcommittee, you know, the way you described that a concession stand, I just see that as being something that teams will want to use and try to make the most out of that. It's really really cool, the berm, the detail. It sounds like it's been hashed back and forth, and it's kind of getting to that wow factor. So I'm pretty excited about that. Thank you.
Thanks, Fernando. Yeah, we've discussed this before. Sometimes both directions, but I think this is a great example of the project working its way through the process, the established process, the desired process in the appropriate way. And I think it really helps take a lot of the road bumps out of making these decisions. I hope others on the committee feel the same way, but that is the way that I feel. And I think it makes decision making a lot easier. So I I appreciate that as well. Do we have any other questions before I call the question? Okay, looks like we are we're ready to go then. The desired action for tonight would be adopting a resolution approving the design and construction documents for the Invest in Wilmer Swanson Fields project and to authorize the project to go out for bids. We have a motion and a second. We're going to do a roll call. Councilmember Osmus.
Yes.
Councilmember Alvarado.
Aye.
Councilmember Nelson.
Aye.
Councilmember Plowman votes aye. That would be 4 ayes, 0 nays. This motion passes. Nice job, everybody. Nice job on the presentation. I appreciate the information put forward here. Excited to move forward on it. Ms. Sawatzky.
Thank you, Councilmember Plowman, and all of you for listening to the presentation again. I know I was frozen for a few minutes, but just want you to know that this wasn't just a year, less than a year thought process. The people on this committee have been talking about improvements, ideas, wishes, desires, you know, crazy thoughts for over 10 years. And plan A, plan B, plan C over the years have come and gone. And I'm just really proud of the committee that of the users of this field. And it's really truly the users that did create this product. And they're seeing their wishes and desires come to what you see in front of us. So I look forward to the city council meeting on Monday night. Would anybody know what item number we are so that I can allow the other subcommittee members to hop on, or are we not that far yet?
I'll defer to Brian on that one.
Yeah, we're not that far yet.
Okay.
But we'll let you know.
Yeah, that's fine. I want you to know that they are interested, and life happens as well. So thanks.
Yes, and I will.
And thanks to Rick.
Unfortunately, I will be on vacation next week, but I assume when this hits the rest of the council, like I said, the process was followed. And the way that the information was presented is clear and concise, and this is the way that we are expecting it to go, and this keeps the process moving smoothly. So I'll speak on behalf of myself, and I know some others that also appreciate that as well. And so we're excited to see this one move forward. Does anybody else have any other items they would like to discuss pertaining to this topic tonight before we adjourn? Looks like everybody wants to go enjoy the rest of their evenings.
Just congratulations. I'm glad it's done.
Yeah. Yeah. Looking forward to getting moving with this one. Thank you, Dana. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Mary, for joining us tonight, as well as staff. Rob, thank you for your continued hard work and efforts on this. And we definitely appreciate the many, many, many hours that have gone into this. So. If there's nothing else for the good of the order, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second, Alvarado.
We have a motion, a second, and a third, and I'll make that a fourth. We are adjourned. Good night, everybody.
Thank you. Great presentation.
Thank you. Thanks, Dana, Rick.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you, Dana. Thank you, Rick.